Hello, I'm Stephen Mansfield. Welcome to Derek Prince Legacy Radio.
Derek Prince Legacy Radio, a broadcast outreach of Derek Prince Ministries, bringing you the very best from the vast teaching archive of author and Bible teacher Derek Prince. Your guide to the Derek Prince legacy is New York Times best-selling author and speaker, Stephen Mansfield.
Hello, and welcome to this Friday edition of our program. I'm thrilled that you're with me. I really hope you've been with us all week. Listen, this has been quite a journey. I don't know when I've been as impacted by a topic, and I'll tell you, rejection and what it produces in our life it's just creating havoc amongst God's people, and it's creating havoc in our society. And Derek Prince has been sharing the biblical truths for getting over it, getting past it, getting healed of it, dealing with that wound. And today he's going to really bring this teaching into harbor by talking to us about a very, very important final step. He does such a great job with it. I'm not even going to define it. You need to log on the website at derekprince.org, where you can listen to these teachings over and again. We've been praying. We've been listening to people, bringing other people into the program so they can really illuminate these truths in Derek's life. In fact, Pastor Jeff Buck's going to be with us a little later in our program today. And so this is so critical that I really want you to prayerfully get your Bible and get your something to take notes with. And listen now as Derek talks to us about applying God's remedy for rejection.
In my previous talks this week, I've explained that God's remedy for rejection was provided by the death of Jesus on the cross on our behalf. At the cross, a divinely ordained exchange took place. Jesus took upon himself all the evil that was due to us, that we in turn might receive by faith all the good that was due to him. In particular, Jesus endured our rejection, both by man and by God, that we might experience his acceptance. Yesterday I explained the practical steps by which we can enter into acceptance. I outlined four steps. First, forgive every person who has rejected you or harmed you in any way, and especially forgive your parents, because your attitude to your parents can be decisive for the course of your life. God requires us to honor father and mother that it may be well with us and that we may live long on the earth. The second step, lay down bitterness, resentment, hatred, rebellion, all these evil, negative forces that would destroy us. Thirdly, accept that you are accepted in Christ. Accept it by faith, because the Scripture declares it. Fourthly, accept yourself, and sometimes that's the hardest thing to do. Today I'm going to explain one more important stage in achieving acceptance, and that is acceptance by God's people. This means finding your place in the body of Christ. You see, as Christians, we're never isolated individuals. We're brought into a relationship with other believers, and that relationship is one of the ways in which our acceptance is worked out in our day-to-day living. It's not sufficient that we're accepted by the Father in heaven. That's the first step and the most important. But after that, acceptance has to find expression also in our relationship with our fellow believers. You see, collectively, Christians constitute one body, with each Christian a member of that body. Listen to what Paul says in various passages of the New Testament, Romans 12:4 through 5. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. So you see, we're members of one body, and each of us belongs to all the others. We cannot ever find full satisfaction or peace or acceptance apart from the other members. And then in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, various verses along this line. Now the body is not made up of one part, but many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. You see, you're a part of the body. You may be a foot, you may be a hand, you may be an ear, you may be an eye, but you're incomplete without the rest of the body. You have to find your place in the body. Again, Paul says a little further on in that chapter, the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. So none of us can say to our fellow believers, I don't need you. We all need one another. God has created the body so that the members are interdependent. None of them can function effectively on its own. That applies to each one of us. It applies to you. You have to find your place in the body. You need the other members, and they need you. Finding your place in the body makes your acceptance a real day-to-day experience. Another picture that the New Testament gives of Christians is that of a single family. We're all members of one and the same family. The great prayer which Jesus taught his disciples begins with those two significant words, Our Father. That tells us two things. First, that we have a Father who is God. That means our acceptance vertically. But because the word is our and not my, it tells us we're members of a family and there are a lot of other children in that family. And it's only when we get related in the family that our acceptance becomes effective horizontally. So there's vertical acceptance with God, horizontal acceptance in God's family. This is what Paul says in Ephesians 2:19 along this line. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household or members of God's family. The alternative is to be foreigners and aliens. We don't like those words, foreigners and aliens. I immigrated to the United States in 1963. I didn't become a citizen till 1970. So for 7 years, I was an alien in this country. And probably United States citizens don't realize, but every year, the first month of the year, January, you have to fill up a form and notify the government where you are and keep them informed. They have to keep tabs on you. And then again, if you go out of the country and come back, you have to come back with a little green card which states that you're a resident alien. And you don't line up in the same line with United States citizens to have your passport checked. There's another line. So there are distinctions, there are differences. You're not really part of the whole thing as long as you're an alien. And what God is saying is, you are no longer an alien. You're no longer a foreigner. You belong, you're inside, you're part of the family. But for that to be real to you, you really have to find your place in a family.
Isn't it wonderful to know that we have been born into a family, that God has given us mothers and fathers and brothers and sisters in the body of Christ who can love us and to whom we can belong? There's more to come as Derek Prince, Legacy Radio, continues.
Forgiveness, a slate wiped clean. This, of course, is part of our precious birthright as blood-bought children of God. But as recipients of such amazing grace and mercy, it's vital that we examine our hearts and minds for traces of bitterness, resentment, and unforgiveness. To help you in that important life-restoring process, we'd like to send you a free copy of a newly printed booklet by Derek Prince Ministries, titled The Three Most Powerful Words, Discovering the Freedom of Releasing the One Who Hurt Us. Unforgiveness gives the enemy access into our lives and can even provoke God's anger. But when we show forgiveness toward those who wrong us, we empower our prayers, bring healing, and open up the pathway of God's blessing in our lives. To get your free copy of this liberating booklet, The Three Most Powerful Words, Discovering the Freedom of Releasing the One Who Hurt Us, call toll-free 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. We believe God will use this booklet to bring restoration, healing, and freedom. Call now for your free copy. 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or visit us online at derekprince.org.
Welcome back to Derek Prince, Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield. Wonderful to have you with me on this Friday, trusting you've absorbed all of this great teaching on rejection. And now, listen, in the next few moments, Derek Prince is going to define nine things you need to look for when you're seeking a church. This is important. Let's listen.
What God is saying is, you are no longer an alien. You're no longer a foreigner. You belong. You're inside. You're part of the family. But for that to be real to you, you really have to find your place in a family. Listen to what the psalmist says in Psalm 68:6. God makes a home for the lonely. Isn't that beautiful? Are you lonely? Millions of people in the United States are lonely. They haven't realized that God makes a home for the lonely. He leads out the prisoners into prosperity. But listen to this. Only the rebellious dwell in a parched land. So God's purpose is to bring you into a family, to bring you into a home. And in doing that, he breaks the chains that bind you, and he brings you into prosperity, into well-being, into happiness, into abundance. There's only one possible barrier. That's rebelliousness. The barrier is not outside. It's not in God. But it could be in you. If you're going to find your place in the body, if you're going to become a member of the family, that's one thing you have to do, is lay down rebellion. Stop going your own way, doing your own thing. Realize you need the body and seek a place in the body, a place in the family. For your acceptance to be full, a day-to-day real experience, not just a doctrinal theory, I've explained that you need to find a place in a body. You need to become a member of a group. You could use different names, church or fellowship or many names. I'm not concerned with a name. Now, it's not always easy to find the kind of group that will make you truly accepted. And in my book, The Marriage Covenant, I've listed 9 questions which anybody seeking such a group should ask before they join. So I'm going to read these 9 questions. I want you to listen carefully, bearing them in mind if you're in need of such a group. 1. Do they honor and uplift the Lord Jesus Christ? 2. Do they respect the authority of Scripture? 3. Do they make room for the moving of the Holy Spirit? 4. Do they exhibit a warm and friendly attitude? 5. Do they seek to work out their faith in practical day-to-day living? 6. Do they build interpersonal relationships among themselves that go beyond merely attending services? 7. Do they provide pastoral care that embraces all your legitimate needs? 8. Are they open to fellowship with other Christian groups? And 9. Do you feel at ease and at home among them? Now, if the answer to all or most of these questions is yes, you are getting warm. Continue to seek God, however, until you receive definite direction from Him. And remember that you probably will not find the perfect group. Furthermore, even if you did, you could not join it, because after you joined it, it would no longer be perfect. That's a quotation from my book, The Marriage Covenant. I'm trying to give you direction on how you can get out of your loneliness and your sense of being on the outside looking in and become part of a living organism, a living body. Become a member, find your function, and get fulfillment. Now, if you're still crying out in your heart for this kind of thing, right at the end of my book, The Marriage Covenant, I've got a prayer that I suggest such a person could pray. I'm going to read this prayer out of the book, and if it's your prayer, if this is how you feel today, and this is what you would like God to do for you, when I've finished reading the prayer, will you say amen? Will you make it your prayer that way? This is the prayer. Lord, I am lonely and unfulfilled, and I acknowledge it. I long to dwell in your house, to be part of a spiritual family of committed believers. If there are any barriers in me, I ask you to remove them. Guide me to a group where this longing of mine can be fulfilled, and help me to make the needed commitment to them. In the name of Jesus, amen. If you pray that prayer, if you say amen to that prayer, something's going to start happening in your life, I promise you. God's going to start to move. He's going to give you new direction. He's going to bring you into new associations. He's going to open new doors for you. He's going to bring you out of that parched land and make you dwell in a house, be a member of a family, part of a body. May God bless you.
Those 9 questions to ask when seeking a church are so important. Make sure you have them written down. Make sure your friends have them. Log on to the website at derekprince.org if you didn't hear them the first time. Coming up in a few moments, Jeff Buck, pastor, who worked with Derek Prince for years and is going to tell us how he dealt with rejection as Derek Prince Legacy Radio continues.
Why are so many lives littered with tragic mistakes? Derek Prince said it simply, we don't realize our value to God. In his wonderful audio CD, Do You Realize How Valuable You Are?, Derek Prince reveals, your value in God's eyes, how God lovingly created you, why Jesus paid the ultimate price for you to spend eternity in heaven. To get your copy of this encouraging audio CD for only $6.95, simply call us toll-free, 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. To God, you're priceless. Don't settle for less than His best in your life. 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. Or visit us securely online at derekprince.org.
Welcome back to Derek Prince, Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield. Great having you with us today on this Friday. And joining me from Fort Lauderdale is Jeff Buck, who's been with us several days before this week, has extensive experience with Derek Prince, a very effective pastoral ministry. And I've been asking him some questions about Derek Prince's life, about how he battled rejection, how he lived out these truths. And today I'm really going to ask him to speak not only out of his experience with Derek, but out of his own experience as a pastor on this whole issue of rejection. Jeff, it's great having you with us today.
Thank you so much.
Let me set you up with Derek's definition of what rejection is. Derek has taught us in this series this week that rejection is the feeling of being unwanted, excluded, worthless, not really belonging, and somehow on the outside looking in, but never knowing how to get on the inside. That's almost the human condition, isn't it?
He always called it an inner wound. He used to speak of it in that way, as a wound. And he would usually go to Isaiah 61:1, where the Lord has sent Christ to bind up the brokenhearted, proclaim liberty to captives and freedom to prisoners. And yeah, it's the common human condition, most definitely.
And Jeff, from your own experience, either personally, because you said you were walking rejection at one point, but also from your pastoral experience, what is that wound? Where does that wound come from? Is it a parent thing? Is it a high school, you know, cool clique group rejection thing? What is it?
That wound can come from several sources. It can come from the lack of definition from the words of a father, because we as fathers define our children, and we need to express to them warmly and verbally what they mean to us, what they can mean in life, and all of that. It could be a traumatic experience, someone that absolutely takes us limb from limb every day in the locker room at school, to where we lose sight of the fact of what parents or the word might say. It can be something that is as simple as never having been nurtured in the social skills of life, so that you never quite know what to do. It can have several different roots, but the wound is the same.
And is the solution simply knowing that we're accepted by God and accepted in the Beloved? It doesn't seem that just that intellectual knowledge would really heal that wound of soul. How do you perceive that?
I would think Derek would say, and I would agree, that it takes a revelation. It takes an opening of the truth of God, not something that you learn, but something that you see. And I remember from Ephesians 1:6, seeing with the eyes of revelation that I had been made accepted in the Beloved. That led me to the second conclusion, and that was, if God accepted me, I had to accept myself. And out of that, you begin to lose your self-absorption, self-centeredness. You're always walking into a room and thinking, what do people think about me? And so you find yourself automatically wanting to relate to others, to help others, to fix others, so to speak. And that is where the practical outworking comes, as you wrench your eyes off yourself and you begin to use what little you have to help and to serve other people. That's what happened with me. I simply noticed that I was relentlessly curious about how people were doing. I'd walk into a room and wonder, well, why is that person standing alone, or why is that person coming in late or leaving early? And I didn't realize that that was that pastor's heart, that heart of love, wanting to know, how are people doing? But in my early days, because of that sense of rejection, all I could think about was, well, am I dressed right? What do people think of me? Do I stink? You know, like that.
And you know, it's interesting. We tend to think of people who have their eyes only on themselves as being selfish, haughty people. But the fact is, having your eyes only on yourself can really turn to a negative, miserable condition. I mean, Derek, in the teaching this past week, has said that rejection leads to loneliness, loneliness to misery, misery to self-pity, self-pity to depression, depression to despair, and then, of course, to suicidal, I wish I were dead kind of thinking. The point is that again, it's not just an arrogant, haughty, proud thing that comes from having our eyes only on ourselves. It actually produces a sort of a negative downward spiral that many people don't recognize as being rooted in that selfishness and pride.
Oh, it's amazing that people who seem, on the one hand, arrogant and real braggarts, and then you compare them with other people who seem withdrawn, lonely, and so on, the root can be the same. And that is a lack of assurance of who they are and that they are valuable. And it's interesting, the two sides of the same coin, it's still the same coin. You can solve all different kinds of problems by dealing with that common root of rejection.
And I we've certainly seen in both of our ministries people transformed once they accept not only the reality of God, but the power of the Holy Spirit to touch the heart, and then the theological truth of acceptance. I think it's three things. It's the knowledge and the experience of God's acceptance. It's the healing of the Holy Spirit. And then it's also a theology that I am made for a purpose. I belong to something. I'm called to something. I have a place. I have a position that I'm meant to hold in this great family of God. All of that brings a restoration, and it absolutely radically transforms people's lives when they accept it.
Well, I think if Derek were here, he would simply say that being delivered from rejection releases you into the favor of God. And it's interesting in Ephesians 1:6 where it says he has made us accepted in the beloved. The Greek simply says he has graced us with his grace, or he has favored us with his favor. I've heard Derek talk many times about the favor of God, and that is the prize, the healing agent for those who are released from rejection, and that is the favor and the blessing and anointing of God is manifested on their life.
Well, and favor, as you're describing it, is not just God's favor on us, but it's a favor that produces a favorable attitude or response from other people. We see it time and again. We see it in Daniel 1 when Daniel and his friends are, it says God caused the officials to look positively or to have favor with him. We see that repeatedly in the Bible. So it's actually almost the antidote to rejection once our souls are straightened out, isn't it?
You said it perfectly. Daniel is a good example. Joseph is a good example. Many different places in Scripture where the inward knowledge of God's favor and the touch of God in our life produces a situation where people come to us and say, I need what you have. Now, when you have a sense of rejection, people look at you and go away. But when you have that sense of favor, people look at you and say, I need what you have.
You know, I asked you on Wednesday to pray for a breaking of this rejection and an intervention of God into people's lives, but would you pray for the restoration side of that today? Would you pray for this very favor that we're talking about to be exemplified and lived out in people's lives, and for people to live the upside of the breaking of this curse of rejection?
No, I heard Derek do that many times. I would be happy to.
Please.
Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. We thank you again for the finished work of Jesus on the cross. Thank you that he wants to remove the negative and replace it with the positive. Thank you, Lord, for releasing us from that awful sense of failure, rejection, and shame. And thank you for the very favor and touch and grace of God. Thank you that you have, Ephesians 1:6, graced us with all grace, favored us with all favor. We want to be like the Son of God in Luke 2:52, who increased in wisdom, stature, favor with God, and favor with man, all for your sake. May we know the favor of God so that we might know the success in ministry for God. And we thank you for hearing us in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Jeff, I can't tell you how much I appreciate you being with us this week.
Thank you.
Man, thanks for being with us. God bless your work and ministry down there.
Appreciate it. God bless.
And listen, that's all the time we have for today. But if you have only listened once to this series by Derek Prince on rejection, if you really haven't felt that it's embedded in your soul, or you just want to soak in it over and over again, you can log on to our website at derekprince.org, and you'll find all of this great material that you've heard this week, as well as a lot of other great teachings, and also some good news about what's happening in Derek Prince Ministries. That's all the time we have for today. For everyone at Derek Prince Ministries, I'm Stephen Mansfield. Join us again on Monday as the legacy continues.
Get your copy of Derek's CD, Do You Realize How Valuable You Are? When you call toll-free, 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, 888-737-0771. The CD is just $6.95. When you order, we'll include a free copy of Derek's booklet, The Three Most Powerful Words. 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or in Canada, call 888-737-0771. Or purchase your copy of Do You Realize How Valuable You Are? And request your free copy of The Three Most Powerful Words booklet securely online at derekprince.org. Derek Prince Legacy Radio is a broadcast outreach of Derek Prince Ministries and produced in association with Audio Aviators. For more information about anything heard on today's program, visit us at derekprince.org.